Found it. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we? It's a good day, isn't it?
Yes.
Yesterday, I'm watching a movie titled Barbershop, The Final Cut. It's been out a few years, Barbershop, The Final Cut. Watching it on television, so the TV edited version. And that was originally produced and released, an R-rated version. It's a funny movie. So I'm watching it, the edited version, and about halfway through or two-thirds of the way through, I finally turn it off, change, watch something else because of the language that was edited. And in all honesty, some of that is because God's preached a pretty good sermon to me this week. As you know, when I work on what I present to you on Sunday, God works me over all week long. So if you ever feel, you know, your toes stepped on or any of that kind of nonsense, join the club. You know, welcome aboard. But we live in a foul-mouthed world, don't we? And so our movie rating system, you know, a G-rated movie has essentially no foul language. PG will have some. PG-13 will have oftentimes, more times than not, one F-word. They can get by with two F-words and still be PG-13. Usually it's one. I watch a fair amount of those rated movies. And it's just kind of interesting to me whenever that word comes, it sticks out like a sore thumb. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, there it is. They can have one, sometimes two, and there it was. And R-rated movies are very foul. Who decides what is a cuss word? We're going to answer that today. And how clean should our language be? Does it really matter? We're going to answer that too. So flip in your Bibles to James 1:19. This was our scripture reading. James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear. This is a lost art if it ever was an art, listening, being good listeners, right? Be quick to hear. Slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save your souls. It's pretty special when we gather on these Sundays, isn't it? And that song, David, thank you. Thank you to all our song leaders, our worship leaders. Jesus is Lord. That takes me back to church camp, and that one gives me chills. And it's a beautiful thing when God's people are singing together, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
And worshiping together. It is so good to come together. But I remind you this statement in verse 21, receive with meekness the implanted word of God. We need the Bible. Book of James talks about this being a mirror to your soul. We need to look at this, church. We need to look at this, and when we do, we see what's out of place with ourselves, and we need to correct it. But we have to do it. You have to have some meekness. So I ask you to have a little meekness today with this lesson, really with every lesson. But I expect we all in some way need this lesson. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Another great Psalm 10:19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. We say things we shouldn't say, right? Sometimes we're too quick to speak. Oftentimes God's people need to be a little slow of tongue. Need to be cautious, don't we? We need to think before we speak. And some personalities are more, you know, we have different personalities, and in that way there will be different sins that are affect you more, or temptation, and then there's different strengths. It will be a strength in certain settings to be able to think quick and speak quick. But Scripture tells us we need to think before we talk. And there are times that, you know, sometimes we offend someone or hurt their feelings by what we're saying, and we were joking. We were trying to be playful. We were trying to be funny. I do that sometimes, have done that sometimes, when what was in my head was really, that cracked me up, so I'm going to share it. And that doesn't mean it was good, because it was a little too sharp, and things can be hurtful, and we don't mean them to be. Psalm 141:3, this is a good one. We'll read that in just a second. Let me set it up by saying, last year, Yvette and I started coaching LTC Chorus. So we're coaching this group of chorus. We had 13 in the chorus last year, and that ranged in ages that's all the way from 3rd grade to 12th grade. So we had a good range in ages, and we would start here on a Sunday and eat lunch together, eat pizza, and then when it's time to practice, we'd go across the street. When we go across the street, a few times it's a little bit like herding cats, and we get to the road because there's no fear among children. And so we get close to the road, and I'm very cautious. And there were numerous times I have the street to my back, and I'm trying to hold the herd because this is dangerous. I'm trying to guard them. And this psalm is one that we need. Proverbs 12:18, 141:3, Psalm, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. We need God to put a guard over our mouth, don't we? And then let God determine if the gate opens or not. Sometimes the gate needs to stay shut. We need a guard over our mouths. Sometimes it may be with you, it may be foul language, but it may not. It may be gossip. It may be times when you're upset and arguing and you're using words as weapons with your spouse or with your kids. Sometimes we need God, just slam that thing shut. Can you hold it shut until you decide it's appropriate to open it? Proverbs 12:18, there's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And another one, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Do you remember in the past when someone spoke a rash word or a harsh word and how it hurt? Is that it? Does your mind ever bring up? I mean, it can be years ago, and it hurt then, and if you remember it, usually it still hurts a little now. Isn't that something? The power of words, what words can do. Words are very powerful for building up, and you know that. I want to remind you of that. This sermon mostly will deal with how words can be dangerous and tear down, but they can build up. They're powerful, but they're powerful both ways, and they can be like sword thrusts, piercing, painful, lingering, lasting. Proverbs 31 is a great Proverbs. That chapter, the last part of that chapter, talks about a righteous woman. And verse 26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Teaching of kindness. This world needs more kindness. It needs more kindness. There are times, ladies, when you need to be reminded that God has given you words to heal and to teach and to guide, but with kindness. And so, fathers, good scripture for us, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As fathers, we find ourselves frustrated sometimes and tempted to use our strength, including our language, including our foul language, to parent. And we need that gate. We need the gate because, fathers, we have a job to discipline and instruct, but in doing so, to show our children what a man of God looks like. So I remind you of that. Ephesians 4:25, this is a great passage. Really, if we were to just use one today, I would use this one. It answers a lot of questions for us. But verse 25 says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." This, verse 26 has been misunderstood a lot. It doesn't mean, sometimes it will be misapplied, and a married couple will be arguing at 3 a.m. Why? Because one of them won't let the other one go to sleep because they're still mad at him. So we're going to resolve this before we go to bed. After all, the good book says, right? Do not let the sun go down on your anger. That's not what this means, church. What it means is when you get angry, get rid of that. Deal with that. Don't stay angry is what this is saying. Because, verse 27, look at what anger does. It gives an opportunity to the devil. The devil loves when we get angry. He loves when we get angry. We all get angry at some point, don't we? Frustrated, irritated. When we do, a lot of times our words come out real quick, sharp. Words that we regret. Very, 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 very seldom do we do something great when we're angry. Right? I mean, we do things that are damaging and destructive. And so don't stay angry is the idea. Verse 29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths." The New American Standard says, "Unwholesome." Let no unwholesome talk. Holman translation says, "Let no foul words come out of your mouths. But only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that you may give grace to those who hear." Pretty good guide, isn't it? That answers a lot of questions for us. What words can I use? Who decides? We'll get into that a little more in a moment. But let no corrupting talk, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. God has given us language to bless. You know that? He has given us language to be a blessing. We can work together. We can comfort each other. We can build each other up. We can spread the good news of Jesus. We can do a lot of good with our words. And the devil loves it when we use our words to curse, to criticize, to tear down. Have you ever put diesel in a gasoline engine? Yes, Steve has. Alan has. How does it work? Not real well. Not good, right? I almost did that one time. I was at the pump. I had this, and I was here, and I glanced back. I think it was a church van, actually. Not here, but before I came here. And glanced back, and luckily, thankfully, realized, self, you're about to put the wrong kind of fuel in this vehicle. When you go to the gas pump, and you pull out that handle, and you stick it in your car, you expect, you think you're at the right pump, you expect gasoline to come out of a gasoline hose. That's how that works. And you don't expect the wrong thing to come out of this because it's a source of one type of fuel. And James speaks to this. James 3, verse 9. James says, he's talking about our words. "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water?" The answer is no, it does not. God has given us words to use in good ways, in godly ways. And we cannot gossip in one breath and praise God in another. We can't land blast somebody behind their back and then lead someone to Christ in another breath. You ever heard this song, cuss on Mondays and pray on Sundays? We can't do that. I mean, it sounds poetic in a song, but we can't do it. That's not how God directs us. And it amazes me how much, just in music, you can listen to music where, and this is in the entertainment industry, but where God's influence and godly things like praying on Sundays is intertwined with Satan's things, as if that is no problem at all. Have you noticed that? And so we have to be people who our words praise God on Sundays and our words build people up on Mondays. And they help people on Saturdays. But they don't tear down. So, you know, we've had sermons in the past on gossip. Today's is I really want to hone in on, let's get into foul language and answer some questions. There are ways that we rationalize and kind of justify this. When I was growing up in school, I never heard a teacher cuss. All the way through the 12th grade, I don't remember hearing a teacher cuss. Okay? Yes, that was in ancient times. But 1988, graduate high school, I don't remember a teacher using foul language. Go to Oklahoma Christian, so at a Christian university, never heard a teacher use foul language. And then in about 2003, I go back for a degree in counseling at OSU, of all places, and sure did, yes. And I had professors then who did use foul language. And so I didn't like that. And on my, as I'm enrolling in a new semester, I have a professor that I had not had before, but I had heard she is a preacher's wife, and she is and was. And so I thought, you know, finally, I'll have a class and a professor where I don't have to hear all this filth. And she was the worst. The worst, by far. She was a good teacher. I liked her as a person for a number of different reasons. But she was foul-mouthed. And so and if you know me very well, I hate conflict, but I did go and talk to her at some point about that. And I just asked her, why? I mean, here's two things that to me don't, right, you know, you're a minister's wife and you talk like this. What? I don't understand. And we talked briefly. We didn't talk a long time. We didn't get into a Bible study. Her answer was this: I don't think God cares. I don't think God cares. That may sound ridiculous, but probably no more ridiculous than some of the other excuses we use. And what's amazing, and I really believe this to be true, so we're 230, 240 in this room. If I'm going to do a count, Richard. I got 258 is what I've got here. That's probably a little high, but that's a preacher count. But so I would expect we have, let's be real with ourselves, we probably have 200 different standards of language for ourselves. What I mean is the words that we use or don't use. We have words that we use that are somewhat off color that we have deemed those words are acceptable, not a problem, I'm not going to hell over it. And we have other words that we don't use or we don't use in certain settings. Am I wrong? I don't see any heads shaking no. So I would expect we have 200 different versions of that. Isn't that interesting? Because we in our mind have, us as an individual has determined, here's my line. Here's my list of go-tos. Here's my list of, I don't use these. Unless I'm really mad, or, you know, we have whatever our formula is, we have it. And that's how we function. True? And those are excuses, are they not? So let's run through some. Let's address some excuses. It's just words, preacher. I'm not punching somebody in the throat. right? I'm not stealing from someone. I'm not lying. It's just words. And Matthew 12:36, if I could share with you one scripture today, it would be this one. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We should never look over our shoulder to see who is, what word. I'm about to use a word, but if my mom is behind me, or if Bob Fitzgerald is behind me, or if Norma Shenner is behind me, right? Because for every careless word, we're going to answer to God. Now, how God does that, I don't know. I don't know that God's going to roll out a scroll of all those words. I would expect the truth here is if we are walking with God and trying to honor God in our life, then the blood of Jesus covers our sins. But church, if we're living a life and we're foul-mouthed and justifying it, we may very well be in the wrong line on Judgment Day. You know what that means? Wrong line. That means I thought I was being a Christian, but my words declared me guilty. So that's an excuse that we'll use sometimes. Well, it's just words. Who decides what is a cuss word anyway? And the answer is God does. God does. You say, preacher, now hold on. What about this word? What about that word? The answer, truthfully, is God does. He decides what is a cuss word. And you say, well, preacher, I don't remember a verse that says, thou shalt not use this word, this word, this word, this word, this word. And yet we did just read some scriptures like that that said, let no unwholesome talk, no foul mouth. If you want to know how much as a Christian you can use a little off-color language, how much? If that's the question, zero. Zero. And you might say, now, preacher, you're going too far. You're going too far. Our theme this year is radical living. And I remind you, our God is radical. He's radical in His love and mercy, and He's radical in His judgment and wrath. Read your Bible. Right? God is extreme. He's all in. Whatever He is about, it's 100%. And so I don't say any of these things today for the goal of making someone feel bad, unless feeling bad leads you to honoring God, right? That's what guilt is for, by the way. Guilt is to prod us to change and to honor God. God decides what is a cuss word. You say a G-rated movie. What kind of language is in it? And then we might, so you wonder, is Jesus G-rated? Just stop and think what kind of language you think Jesus used. And the question we need to be asking to get our answer, the question is, how holy am I trying to be? God said, be holy as I am holy. And so our standard is perfection. That's what we're aiming for. So we might say, now, preacher, you don't understand. The people I cuss around understand. I'm not leading them astray, right? Or they understand the language I'm using. And the truth is, if people you are around understand your foul language, then you're leading them in a wrong way. Think about that. That's not good. If when I cuss around the people I cuss around, they understand that I'm not a heathen, that's just some language I use, and am I trying to show them Christ, or am I trying to show them me? Someone might say, I just don't consider the words I use as cuss words. And I would ask us, since when do we get to decide what is sin? Since when do we decide what sin is? And that's why it's puzzling to me, and I'm with you. I'm in the same boat you are. You might say, preacher, I don't think you cuss. Well, I probably don't per your list of cuss words. But with some of you, I do per your list. So here's where it gets strange. We have 200 different lists. How does that work? We can't go to God on judgment day and say, God, I made up my own list. God says, I gave you a list. I told you, no unwholesome words. If I wouldn't say it in this building, I probably shouldn't say it. If you need another way to look at it. Sometimes we struggle feeling like, listen, preacher, it's hard for me. The words just come out. I mean, I try, they just come out. I've been doing it for a long time. I still try, they come out. What I would remind you of is it's amazing how little I hear church members cuss. Do you know why? Same reason your grandma doesn't hear you cuss very much. We clean up our language. In the classroom setting, when you raise your hand and speak, when we talk in the foyer, right? We clean it up. And so we have a little more power over ourselves than we may think. The truth is, our language, give this some thought, our language is the number one way people can tell if we're a Christian or not. Amen. Our language is the number one way people can tell if we're a Christian. And I would pray, and I think you would pray too, that we would pray and hope that never is there an occasion where someone finds out we're a Christian and they're surprised. But our language is the way that people understand who we are. And Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. If this is another scripture, we have about 3 scriptures that answer. Who decides what a cuss word is? God does. This is one scripture. Well, who decides what words are actually, let's get down to the nitty gritty. God does. Let your speech always be gracious. Always. That's our standard. That's our goal. And we use our words to lead people to Christ. Someone might say, preacher, I know good Christians. I know a good Christian or two who cusses. And that means we know a good Christian or two who needs to repent. Right? That's all that means. That's what that means. James 1:26 says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. It's pretty strong language. Someone might say, I just hear it a lot. Where I work, people cuss a lot. At home, my parents cuss, or they did when I was growing up. People I'm around cuss a lot. You know, foul language is in movies. It's in music. I just hear it a lot. And the answer to that is, in some respects, so in the workplace, you're right. You cannot completely control where you are in the workplace. And you may, and in school, coaches, in sports, what have you. So there are certain places where we don't have much control. And it's going to go in. And we'll have to deal with that. But, remember, church, God has never told us, you be like the world. That's never been our goal. And it can never be our excuse that, God, I know I sinned a lot in this way, but I was just around it a lot. God would say, listen, I called you to be salt to the earth, right? A lamp in darkness. I called you to be a city on a hill. I called you to be different than the world, to win the world. And so that has to remain our goal. Honestly, let's get real honest. There are movies that we watch and music we listen to. We just need to stop. We just need to find something else. You say, preacher, that's going to limit my choices. I know. So, preacher, do you know how little good music there is that has no cussing in it? Okay. You know how hard you have to look to find a movie with no foul language in it? What are we trying to do? How holy are we trying to be? How much like God are we trying to be? Let me move on here. Sometimes I'm in a situation that just calls for it. There's just no other word. And I would ask you, how did Jesus communicate? If there were sometimes that the only right word was a cuss word, how was he ever understood? And the point is just that that's another excuse. And the devil keeps feeding us excuses, by the way. I mean, we all have them. There are a lot of them. One final one. God knows what's in my heart. I had a wreck once, totaled a car, and that would not have been a PG-13 wreck because there were three of those that came out of my mouth before I hit a tree. And you might say, now listen, preacher, in a moment where you know, something tragic is happening, or oh no, listen, words just come out. And that's true, but I hate the fact that that came out, because look at this verse. Matthew 15:18, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. Sometimes our words come out quickly because of the situation, but let's be honest with ourselves, that word was still in here. Maybe from music, maybe from movies, maybe from whatever situation or scenario. And so let's close with this one, Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I've been praying about this sermon and this scripture, and I encourage you talk to God with you and tell the devil and all his excuses to hit the road, get real with God. And may our language always reflect a holy and loving and gracious God. We're going to sing a song of encouragement this morning. And the song, Seek Ye First, that's our goal. If you're here and there's something on your heart that we could pray with you about, there may be maybe one this morning you've not had your sins washed away. You believe in God, you believe in Christ, but you've never given your life to Christ, repented of your sins, and been buried in water for the remission of your sins. We'd love to help someone to do that this morning. If we can help you, please come while we stand and sing.
Seek ye first the kingdom.